Now, even though we are a traditional church that celebrates Advent, we don't celebrate Advent simply because it's a nice tradition. No, we rejoice in the first coming, and that's what Advent means, the first coming of Christ, because we know that there's going to be a second coming. Our first three Sundays of Advent were centered on what the Apostle Paul said. We saw the hope that we have in Christ and the peace and the joy that he gives when we're connected to him and we are in union with Christ. Today, our focus is on the Apostle John and the theme of love. Paul was known as the Apostle to the Gentiles. John became known as the Apostle of love because it was the repeated theme throughout his writings. I think all pastors probably have soapboxes on which we love to stand, ideas or topics that really get our blood boiling sometimes or we get excited about. Well, love was that topic for John. But it's also a common theme at New Hope, too. It doesn't seem to matter what passage I preach on. It keeps coming back to our unity with one another, our love for one another, our bonds with one another as a church family, the strength that we have in Christ together. It seems like it's a constant reminder to us. And to repeat such a theme is not useless babble. As I read this passage, you think, man, how many times do they say, love one another? There's repetition all throughout this. And why? Is it useless? Is it meaningless? No, we need it so badly. We need to be reminded over and over and over to love one another. Because by nature, we're just selfish beings. And so John reminds us over and over, and we need to be reminded over and over as well. We're blessed that God has brought to our church family a variety of personalities. But as a result, it can be very hard for some people to put up with other people because we're not all the same. I'm sure that there have been times when you've seen so-and-so walking toward you, and you think, oh, no, I didn't get to start a conversation with somebody else. I don't want to talk to them. There's probably some personality in our church family that you have a hard time dealing with. That's life, right? We all have issues like that. We all have people like that that we'd rather talk to somebody else than them. Love one another, for love comes from God. Love one another. But it's not just about our church life. We also need it in our private lives. In every church, there are troubled marriages, families that are on the edge of collapse. Sadly, most often, as a pastor, we don't hear about it until it's like midnight. It's almost too late to do anything about it. But in every church, there are marriages, there are relationships that are at the edge of collapsing. You're not loving one another like Christ. I'm sure there are some that have a hard time loving people at work. You dread getting up and going to work because of some of the people that you have to deal with. We need to hear this passage every day. Love one another, for love comes from God. Like some of you, I learned at a very young age, in my case at First Presbyterian on the west side of Olathe, I learned, and you learned as well, God is love. It's one of the first verses I remember memorizing as a little child. They taught us to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We learned about the love of God. We memorized John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The love of God was drilled into my heart and mind by wonderful people like Vera Williams and Pauline Russell and Judy McKee and Lois Russell and John Cappell and many other Sunday school teachers and youth directors. Eventually, the Spirit of God implanted his love in my own heart and called me to preach about his love. God is love. And his children must live a life of love. In Romans 5:8, we read, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God has demonstrated his love by sending us the greatest gift imaginable, his own Son. And so the first most obvious point I want to see in this passage is that because of God's gift of love, because God gave us his son, because of God's gift of love, we must love one another. You know, children are always so excited on this day because it's finally the last day before Christmas. In the morning, finally, they get to open all their presents. It is one more night of sleep, but it's not just the kids that are excited, right? Many adults get just as nutsy as the children. Everyone loves gifts. Well, God has sent the greatest gift ever. He gave us his own son because he loved us. So for us to truly love one another, we have to recognize that love is not merely an emotion, but it's an imitation. It's an imitation of the one who first loved us. John says that we love because God first loved us. The only reason we love one another is because God first loved us. John says that in chapter 2, he told them the same thing. He repeated it, or he began in chapter 2 and he repeated it in chapter 4. But he said in chapter 2, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. It's a little confusing because it's really not a new commandment. He says, a new commandment I give you. But this commandment comes right out of the Old Testament, out of Leviticus 19, where we are to love one another. So in one sense, it's nothing new. It's as old as Moses. However, the command to love one another as I have loved you comes right from the cross. Jesus says, now this is how I want you to love one another. I want you to lay down your life for one another. I want you to seek the kingdom and my righteousness first. I want you to die to yourself. I want you to give yourself away. I want you to serve one another like I served you. I want you to forgive one another like I have forgiven you. I want you to love one another like I have loved you. Now that sounds good, but frankly, downright impossible. How can we, as selfish as we are sometimes, truly love people like Christ loved us? Well, if you think that it's impossible, then you're absolutely right. By nature, we are incapable of that kind of love. By nature. When we come into this world, we're not capable of loving the way Jesus loves. And so because we are, by nature, incapable of demonstrating godly love, God has given us his son. John is saying, you're not able to give yourself away. You're not able to truly love one another as God loves you unless he has filled you with his love first. And that's what he's done, isn't it? He's given us his son. He has made it possible for us to truly love one another by being loved by him. By giving us his son, he has shown us what godly love truly looks like. In verse 9, he says, in this the love of God was made manifest among us. He made it known that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I'll explain the propitiation in a minute, but those two little verses, that's a whole sermon series right there. There's so much packed in to those two little verses, but let me just try to summarize it briefly. Basically, he's saying we are incapable of showing godly love until God makes us alive by sending his son to be our sacrifice, to show us what real godly love looks like. God sent his son on a death mission. He sent him to be our propitiation, or as other translations say, our atoning sacrifice. But even that probably needs explanation in our times. It means that he died in our place. The atoning sacrifice is a sacrifice was made, but it wasn't you. An animal was sacrificed where you deserve to be. And John is saying that Jesus is the Lamb. He's the one that is your propitiation, your atoning sacrifice. He died in your place. It's a substitutionary death. And it's a death that satisfied God's wrath and turned it away from us. It's an incredibly beautiful word, propitiation. Substitutionary sacrifice that satisfies the wrath of God and turns it away from people like you and me. What love. What love that God has demonstrated to us. That he would give his only son so that we would not have to face his eternal wrath, but that we could be received as his children. What love. And as a result of receiving such love, we now can love one another. We must love one another. He has made it possible for us, and he has made us capable of truly loving one another like Jesus loves us. But what's it look like? What does that look like to really love like Jesus loves? Well, husbands, love your wife like Christ did. Die for her. Die to yourself. You know, a week ago, I told a funny story about my grandson, and I turned that phrase a little bit today, where, men, you are not the man of the house. I know we like to think that way, that we're the man of the house and everybody else is to obey and serve us. Christ is the man of our house. We are merely his representative to our wife and children. He is the one who is to be obeyed and served in your home. You are to be the example of Christ to your wife and children, to die to yourself and to live for them. Wives, you also must die to yourself and serve your family. Care for them well. If you're not married yet, good, because that gives you more time to work on your selfish heart and your willingness to love others like Christ, so that you'll be prepared when the Lord blesses you in marriage. You've got time to strengthen your walk with Christ and to learn to love others more effectively and beautifully. Don't insist on getting everything you want. Ask yourself instead, what can I give to so-and-so to demonstrate God's love? How can I serve people today instead of just myself? I didn't get married till I was 26. And for some, that seems like that's pretty young today. In that day, it wasn't so young. But the Lord gave me that time to learn. He's given you time to learn. Learn to love like Christ. So because of God's gift of love, we can and we must love one another like Christ loved us. Secondly, because of God's gift of love, we must rely on his love. Look again at verse 16. It says, we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. The word believe can also be translated as to rely upon. So we have come to know and rely upon the love that God has for us. John is saying here that we have knowledge. We know about God's love. But in verse 9, he said that God manifested his love. He made it known. So we know about the love of God. Our knowledge of God grows, but we don't merely seek knowledge. John says we must believe it. We must rely on God's love. John said that God demonstrated his love by sending his son. And we all know that. We know that's why we're celebrating Christmas, because God sent his son to be born as a babe in Bethlehem. We know that. We have the knowledge of that, but knowledge is not enough. The book of James says, you know that God is one, that's good. Even the demons believe that and are terrified. So I've said for years, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that's good, but you're no better than a demon. That doesn't make some people happy, but that's the reality. Even the demons knew that he was the Son of God. As Jesus was ministering on the earth and he would come across a demon-possessed man, there were times in which the demons recognized him and even called him the Son of God. Knowledge is not enough. Now, you must have knowledge, But we must also believe. We must also rely upon the love of God. Most of the time when we become discouraged with one another, or even bitter toward one another, it's because we attempt to love one another on the basis of our own ability to love, rather than relying upon His love to love like Christ loved. So once again, where does such belief or such reliance, where does it come from? Well, in verse 12, he tells us, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, he says, God lives in us, and His love is perfected in us. We know that we live in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. So again, because by nature we are unable to rely on His love, God has given us His Spirit to equip us, to make us able. When we're rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light, when our dead hearts are made alive and regenerated, when the payment for our sin debt is applied to our account, God takes up residence in our lives. The Holy Spirit comes in and makes us His home. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit. His Spirit is given to us, and He is in the process, and it is a process, of making us more and more like His Son. Our ability to love one another, as you know, if you came to Christ, especially if you came as an adult, you know that your ability to love one another is weak at first, but it gets stronger. The longer you're in Christ, the more you hear His word and obey it, the more you worship and adore Him, the more you pray and not give up, He makes us grow more and more in our love for Him and our love for one another. Our reliance upon His love is the result of the Spirit of God abiding within us, enabling us to rely on Him even more. You can see that in the way that John describes it in verse 16. Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in us. In other words, we live a life of love because God is in us. Well, I think we probably all know human love is short-term, it's so circumstantial, it's based upon what a person can get in return, but that's not the love of God. God's love is a life of love. It's an unconditional, sacrificial, visible love. He made His eternal love visible through the sacrifice of His own Son for you. And that's the love that His Spirit is enabling us to rely on as we love one another. That's the Christmas message, isn't it? You shall call His name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Christ became one of us so that He could die for us in the flesh and abide in us by His Spirit. The result of God's visible love, abiding in His people, that's what we see in the last and final point. So because of God's gift of love, we must be confident of His love. Look at verse 17. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as He is, so also are we in this world. Since God has sent His Son as our sacrifice, and because He has given us His Spirit to abide in us, we can have confidence in the day of judgment. In other words, God's judgment of all men is coming soon. But we don't have to fear. If God is in you, you don't have to fear the judgment of God. You can have confidence. I've said so many times from this pulpit, death is no big deal for us. Oh, it's painful, certainly. And it's so hard to watch a loved one getting closer and closer to death. It's painful. And there's good reason to grieve. But ultimately, we know that it's merely an entrance into heaven. We grieve, and it's difficult for us, in part because we're selfish people who want them still. We miss that relationship. We miss being able to talk to them and call them and see them. And we want to be able to. And because this life is so important to us. But we must remember that this is not the good life. If Christ is in you, if Christ was in your loved one, oh, you'll see them. You'll see them in a far better place and time than now. You can be confident in the day of judgment. And then John says something that is a little confusing. He says, as he is, so also are we in this world. There's a lot of strange teaching that comes out of this verse. The Mormons, for example, teach that if you live up to a certain standard, that you can become a god. They teach that God was a man like us, and therefore we can become a god like him. They teach that if you live up to a certain standard, you can rule your own world and be a god. There's even popular teachers today that teach that we basically are god, little gods. If you take this phrase out of context, it kind of sounds like that. As he is, so also are we. In other words, we are like him in this world. But the entirety of the Bible teaches, and it doesn't contradict with this, it harmonizes with this, but the entirety of the Bible teaches that there is only one true God, and I am not him, and neither are you. By giving us his Son and his Spirit, we can become more and more like him, but we don't become him. We become more and more like him. We grow in our love for one another. We grow in our forgiveness of one another. We grow in our peace, in our joy. We grow more and more to look like him, but we are not him. So what John is saying is that we are to show the love of God to this world in the same way that God has shown his love to us. Well, would they say that about us? Would they say that we demonstrate the love of God? Would our family say that we love them like Christ loves them? God's love for us is not determined by what we do or do not do. His love for us is not determined by the location of our birth or the family to which we were born. So also we are to love others in the same way. Now that does not mean that God just ignores our sin. No, he sent his Son to deal with our sin so that we could be his family. The only remedy is if God sets us free through Christ. The most common means that God uses to accomplish that work is by the visible demonstrations of his love through his people. I read recently, and I sent an email to the church family on this recently as well, that it's been said that over 80%, I think it was 86%, something high 80s, come to church because a friend invited them. Only 2% come because of advertising. May people come because of you. They certainly don't come because of me. And they don't come because we have a flashy ad on Facebook or Google. They might. You might get the one or two. But most of the time, people will come because of you. They've seen your love. They've seen your joy. They've seen the peace that you have in your heart. Maybe they can even sense the confidence that you have in this life. Show them Jesus. Because of God's love, he gave us his Son. So we must love one another like he did. We have his Spirit, so we must rely on his love, not on ourselves. He gave us to the world so that others can see his love. Love others in the same way that you have been loved. Let's pray.